Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Losers, in other words.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
The guy makes a point. The guy.
Who is that again?
Alex Trebek. Legend. There.
Yep.
I think there's a guy where you can use legend.
Yep, fine.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog, thanks for listening. Joining us now on the West Her Hotline is Mike Kelly, NHL Network, The Point, on Twitter at Mike Kelly NHL. It's been a while, Mike. Glad to have you back on.
Hey, guys. Yeah, glad to be back on. How you doing?
Very good. Very good. We've got the deadline to talk about a little bit on Monday, and we've got a Sabre season first that, while isn't exactly good, it's a little better than others have been. I don't know. I'm not setting this up as somebody who's really looking at them too optimistically, but just to get into that conversation, Mike, what about the 2019-2020 Sabres for you? What are they?
Well, they're not good enough to compete in their division if you want to talk about playoffs and any kind of playoff success. Jack Eichel has gotten to a gear that I thought he was certainly capable of, and that I wouldn't have been surprised if he had got to maybe a year or two earlier. All of this, and I think he can still go farther. I think we've talked before, and I think the world of Jack Eichel. He's been as good as he's ever been, better than he's ever been. He's shooting, the confidence that he has in his shot and his ability to score with a wrist shot. It's taken another step. So just more dimensions to his game, as good a skater as he's ever been, as effective of a skater. So it's great to see the franchise player continue to go north in terms of his development and what he's going to be capable of. He's a superstar player in the league. Rasmus Dahlin is still a kid and getting better and will be a pillar of that defense for a lot of years. So, you know, the pieces are good overall. It's kind of the same stuff. I'm sure you guys talk about it all the time. They don't have the depth of forward to be competitive. I think they're obviously looking to address that. They have bodies defensively in terms of guys you could maybe look to move to try to bring in more forward depth. But it's just the tinkering hasn't worked. Some of the moves haven't worked. Michael Frolik, I don't know what's there, what was expected mm-hmm. of him. But these kind of little things have not worked to create a team that is able to be competitive with other teams in the division that certainly are. And once you get past, I guess it's the big two now with the way Toronto's played this season, it's kind of wide open in terms of the Atlantic Division. So, you know, that's optimistic for Buffalo. The Sabres fans, I say it all the time. I've only been to Buffalo once in my life, and I absolutely love Buffalo Sabres fans, how passionate they are. They watch the games. They want that team to be competitive and to be in the playoffs. And, I think every fan base deserves it. I don't think deserves is the right word, but I'd love for the Sabres, for their fans, to get this team up another notch or two so they can start competing.
Yeah, it's wearing on us. Really, not just us as radio hosts. I think the entire fan base is, we're looking at a ninth year in a row without being in the playoffs in a league where more than half of the teams each year make it. I mean, it's mind-boggling.
We're thinking of moving Buffalo to the Pacific Division just to help a little bit.
Right.
We tried futilely, Mike, for a long time to get the Bills away from the Patriots. Now we're on to this.
Right.
What? Bills are buzzing a little bit though now. They're getting better.
Yeah, that's going well. Same ownership, and that's going well. On Eichel, what do you think? I mean, I know we've talked about him in the past, and like you were the first guy that to me like really turned me on to like the controlled zone entries and the value of having a player that can do that, and even zone exits too. And Eichel, I think, has always, and I assume it's still the case this year, rated pretty favorably in those areas, if not even elite level within the league. What do you think happens when a player like him goes from a point a game to pacing toward what looks like a 100-point season here? Is it just knowing how to pick your spots better? And does that just come with maturity? Like, what do you think is responsible for the step?
Yeah, there's evolution. I mean, he's still a young player. He's 23 years old. So the experience that he's getting year over year is obviously going to benefit him. 33 goals, he's already set a career high. So, again, we talk about his shot, and you guys have seen his shot this season and how good it is. When you talk about guys that can just, it's not even so much flat-footed, but it's not like he has to be blazing it off the rush or be set up for a lateral pass or a one-time or anything like that. I mean, he can just straight shoot the puck and beat a goalie for below the circle. So that's an evolution, and I think I don't even know if it's a confidence thing. I just think that he's a playmaking, pass-first type of guy who maybe sees, you know, holy crap, I can really whip the puck past goalies and score goals and be effective with my shot, which is getting better. So it's just another evolution in a guy with an already loaded toolbox. And then, the transition game from almost the moment he got in the league has been elite. Exiting the zone, entering the zone. There's one guy in the league, I mean, he's right at the top of the league. If you connect the two end-to-end, being able to skate the puck out of your defensive zone into the offensive zone. And, you know, Wayne Gretzky had an interesting quote on this in a podcast he did that caught my attention, where he said, you know, he thinks it's really an art to be able to do that in the game of hockey. It's a difficult thing to do, to transition the puck all the way through the neutral zone. And Eichel's one of the best. He's right at the top of the league with Matt Barzal, who's just ahead of him, Nathan MacKinnon, who's just behind him, and then Patrick Kane and Connor McDavid, who are just behind him.
Good names.
All elite hockey players. Great names, exactly. Yeah. So that's a real strength of his game. And what I love about Eichel when you watch him is it's not the flat line speed necessarily of a Barzal or the bull in a china shop kind of speed and power of a MacKinnon. It's Eichel. It's not even the stride. It's just he can kind of glide on his edges but protect the puck so well. And you see him do it in the offensive zone too. One of the best at it, in my opinion. So that's just getting better. It's all with him just bumping up a little more and a little more, and he still hasn't hit the ceiling yet. So, again, he's a superstar player in the NHL, one of the best.
Mike Kelly with us. Mike, Jeff Skinner has not scored in more than 2 months off a year where he scored 40. And I would say, being here, that no player or topic is above that right now, as another Sabre season seems to just go by without success. What for you explains that? Obviously, he's not playing with Eichel, and the coach seems staunchly about that. He's on the station every week. He was on today and again defended his decision to do that, you know, in so many words. So what about Skinner, and what can you inform us from an analytics standpoint about the benefits of one versus the other, like loading up one line versus spreading it out, that sort of thing?
Well, I think there's a bit of an interesting case study, and it's not apples to apples because we're talking about Skinner, who's a winger, and then Eichel, who's a center. But if you look at Edmonton, and they played Connor McDavid with Dreisaitl together for a long time, and they've split them up from a good chunk of this season. And part of the reason why it's been able to work and they're a competitive team is that Ryan Nugent-Hopkins has been a great fit, obviously, with Dreisaitl on the wing, and he's a really smart player and a good player. But Kyler Yamamoto has come in and really helped that top six by playing really well. And so you're able to do that now. And obviously, when you load up a line, those two guys that I mentioned, Leon and Connor, as an example, they're going to be dynamic and dominant. And we saw that last year with Skinner and with Eichel when they were together. Skinner scored a whole bunch of goals, Eichel doing his thing, and it all looks good and works. But boy, was there ever a lack of depth. And about halfway through the season, that's something that really stood out to me is, you know, those two guys were going and it was nothing else. Mm-hmm. So I understand the perspective where you say for us to have team success, we have to split these guys up. We have to have Skinner producing on a line apart from Eichel, and we have to have Eichel doing his thing. The problem is that Skinner, great goal scorer, he's not a driver in the way that a Jack, well, not many are in the way that Jack Eichel is, but even, you know, go down the road a little bit to Mitch Marner, for instance. He's a driver in terms of being a winger who can move the puck at an elite level and create offense for his line mates. Now, these are very different players, but I think the point that I'm trying to make is that Skinner is a finisher. He's not an elite transition player moving the puck, setting teammates up. And you've got him, when you talk about depth, and he's playing with Erod and Sherry, or mm-hmm. whether it's with Johansson and Frolik, which he's done a bit recently, whatever. I mean, I like Marcus Johansson a lot. And I think he is a bit of a driver in terms of being able to transition and create. But Frolik and Sherry and Rodriguez, I mean, who's setting Skinner up here? Who's the guy that's helping him out in a top six role? So that's where the depth becomes a problem. And I think you have to find a way to... Eichel's going to do his thing virtually regardless of who he plays with. Superstar. Jeff Skinner is a tremendous player. He's a goal scorer. He's a finisher. He's been a goal scorer his whole career. But I think you have to give him a little bit more help. And obviously not being on the first power play unit now, and he doesn't have a power play goal this year, does he?
That's right.
No, he's got 11 even strength goals.
So, you know, look, Skinner can be better. Under no circumstances should he be going 2 months without scoring a goal. But I think you have to help him. And you have to bring in somebody in a top six role who can help him.
Yeah, he did miss a chunk of time there within that 2 months.
Right.
He was injured for 5 weeks or so. So it's happened the entire time, but still, he's got 11 goals and 20 points on the season. So it's a very tough, it's a tough look. And you're not even seeing, you mentioned power play. He doesn't play in overtime either. And mm-hmm. so there's some real curious choices being made
six
there.
On four.
Right. 6-on-4.
Yep.
Can I just throw in a quick question about Sam Reinhardt here? I've even seen some numbers that make you perhaps ponder that the possibility, as I'm sort of tiptoeing here, that Reinhardt could be really valuable to Eichel, that on some level Eichel needs or benefits greatly from having Reinhardt, who I've always, I've always been on Team Reinhardt because so many of the smart numbers seem to favor him. What would you do there?
They work well together. I don't know that I'd be ready to say that Reinhardt is really driving a lot of Jack's success this season. They obviously play well together. But if anybody's if you're going to ask me if one guy is benefiting from the other, who is it? I think it's a pretty obvious answer.
Mm-hmm.
But good fit together. I like Sam Reinhardt a lot as a player.
And he's coming up on restricted free agency right after the season. Well, we've had this, when we've had conversations, Mike, we've talked a lot about Ristolainen and the blue line, and here are the Sabres who, as you said, I mean, there are bodies, but they still don't seem to have that figured out at all. What maybe is something you'd expect at the deadline here? Like, they're continue. It's another round. I'm rolling my eyes even as I ask you, because it's another round of the insiders talking about, well, they would trade Ristolainen, but I mean, there's Montour, and you were pro Montour, if I remember correctly. We talked to you about him being acquired. What's an idea here for the Sabres on Monday?
Well, yeah, Ristolainen's the guy that everybody brings up all the time, and it's pretty interesting with him, isn't it? Because you hear, well, Buffalo is asking pretty high price for him, maybe too high to move him. And then you hear something like what Brian Burke said on a broadcast last night, that when he was in Calgary, the analytics guys there told him, don't touch this guy. So there's a real divide, I think, in terms of even people in hockey of what they think about him. And it is tough in a sense, because you've got a guy who's really known nothing other than playing on teams that haven't been that great. So what is he? How much of a byproduct of his environment is he? What could he do in a situation where maybe he didn't have to eat as many minutes and play against the competition that he plays against? I think I've talked to you guys about Ristolainen before. My thoughts on him, which is that, you know, there's a lot of things that I like about him. You look at guys even this year, I mean, you hear with him turnovers, lots of turnovers. He's not a guy that turns the puck over at a high rate, especially compared to defensemen that play the kind of minutes that he does. Kind of middle in the pack in that area. And, you know, I mean, man, if he played against the Toronto Maple Leafs 82 games a year, he'd be an all-star the way he's playing that team. So I think the kind of obvious one outside the market anyways looking in is, well, would you want to move a guy like him to maybe get a top six forward? And Vincent Trocheck's a name that's been thrown around a little bit. Well, you can understand maybe where a team that has a bit of forward depth that needs a guy who they think can play 20 minutes and be effective for them on the blue line. Now that could make some sense, but now you're Buffalo and you got to fill those minutes. And like you just said, you know, there's bodies there, but you kind of don't really know what you have until it's gone, right? So I don't know what fans in Buffalo, what the overall sentiment on Rasmus Ristolainen is, but when he's not there, who's taking up those minutes if you're using him as a chip to bring in a top six forward potentially? That's an interesting one.
He definitely has his fans here.
Yeah,
I've been
glad to hear that.
Yeah, no, I mean I consider myself more impressed with the numbers maybe than the average fan, and I've been talking about trading him for 3 years, and for a while there, maybe for 2 years, there was always pushback. Now I think everybody's exhausted. And it's not necessarily right. Because of him, but it's just about everything. And so, I don't know, like Bulldog here got to a point where, like, you know, we got to do something.
Right.
And so, like, here's a guy with term and some talent, and so maybe, but obviously it still hasn't happened. And we both, I think, find that incredible.
Yeah.
That
I've always liked him more than Mike does for the obvious attributes. But, yeah, I get to how am I going to get a top six forward? That's what I need more. I've got a ton of right shot defensemen both here and in Rochester. Yeah. And, like, no, I don't know if they can all play 22 minutes a night or not. But, man, I'd be willing to find out because I think the forward depth is what hurts this team more than anything. So he's just been the most logical piece to me to land on. But then you start hearing, like, you're referencing this Brian Burke comment, and, like, I don't know, can I not get what I think I could have gotten 2 years ago for this guy anymore? And now I feel just kind of stuck.
Yeah, and obviously the people on the inside kind of know what the market would bear for him in a trade potentially better than we do. The interesting thing, and I'm not saying I disagree with Brian Burke or the people on his staff who came to that conclusion, but analytics, they're kind of counting numbers that are just, they are what they are, but then there's also the interpretation of information and how you interpret it, how you weigh things, how you value certain things, where two people could look at the same information and have different opinions based on, you know, what they value and what their beliefs are. So I've never been one to say that analytics suggest that Ristolainen is a disaster. I don't agree with that. But again, it's not that simple, I don't think, either. So, look, all we know is what he's done in Buffalo, right? And it is hard to try to gauge what a player who has been in an unfavorable situation can potentially be. It's impossible to know for sure on a different team with a bit of a different role. So all I know is if they trade Ristolainen for a top six forward and there's not a defenseman coming back, yeah, you're going to suffer a little bit on the blue line. It's just, I agree with you, though. I think Buffalo's biggest issue is scoring depth up front. That, to me, is number one. So if you think that moving Ristolainen helps you address that best and you can make up for it in other ways there, so be it. If you think that free agency is a better avenue or a different type of deal is a better avenue, whatever it is, there's no question in my mind that addressing the depth scoring issue with the Sabres is number one, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, there have been times when certain ideas seemed close, maybe Winnipeg in the offseason. Last year, there were Tampa rumors, and I'm like, you know, Tampa did go get Dan Girardi. I wouldn't want to rule anything out here analytics-wise as far as this player goes, but we're still talking here after all this time. Maybe a quick thought on the Leafs here, Mike, before we go. We got about a minute here. The one way to look at the Sabre season is there's a missed opportunity here as Toronto was the cup favorite before the season, and they're only a few points ahead of the Sabres and struggling. The goalies are struggling, or at least one is. What kind of odds would you put on them getting in?
Better than 50%, just because Florida's their only real competition. Take nothing away from Florida, but they're as bad, if not worse, defensively. Toronto was not my cup favorite at the start of the season. I remember being at the NHL Network and saying, I think this team's actually taken a step back. That trading Nazem Kadri presented a challenge for an already defensively challenged team. What you have with the Maple Leafs, right now it's just the game against Pittsburgh, the game against Buffalo even, it's a lack of effort and attention to detail. And the disturbing thing about that is that you're at this point in the season, 60-ish games, and those are still problems. The good thing about that is that they can be corrected. So I think the Leafs are a flawed team. I think that they overvalue the puck possession type of game that they want to play, and you cannot have the puck enough to be as deficient defensively as they are. And the goaltending's been, Freddie Anderson since the start of the new year has been, near the bottom of the league in terms of goaltending performance. So that doesn't help. When Anderson's at his best, it covers up a little bit of the problems that Toronto has defensively, and they're a great offensive team. When Anderson's okay, you see it game to game. Sometimes he can win, sometimes he can't. When Anderson's like this, it's really hard to win.
Yeah.
So I think they're a flawed team in terms of being competitive for a Stanley Cup for sure. But they're not at the level they're at now. They will play better down the stretch, and I think they'll get into the playoffs. I just don't think they give a Boston or a Tampa Bay any real kind of matchup problem.
Do we know a time? I don't happen to know one. I don't know if you do, Mike, or even you, Mike, but on Riley, like when's he supposed to be back?
Weeks.
Still weeks?
Yeah, I think you kind of hear late March, before the playoffs, but towards the end of the regular season.
Right. Well, that's tough.
Man, the start of the year, I thought he was so good. And then he's been battling stuff, I think, basically all year. And the play kind of dropped off because of it as a result. But he is such an important piece, no question.
Mike, thanks a lot. Always good information and conversation. You can play 20 minutes for us anytime you want.
Just did.
You have never seen me play hockey. glad to be on the radio with you guys anyways, for sure.
Yes, very good. Thanks again, Mike.
Okay, take care, guys.
Coming up, an update on the price of Crazy Mouse or other amusement park rides.
Good.
And some quarterback news for all the guys who've been rumored about maybe getting into the market. There's one guy who I think today it sounds more like he will get into the market and leave a team he's played for a long time.
All right, good. We'll get to all of that. Right now, I'm here to talk to you about my friends at the Lacey Ford. 75 years now, it's a long time to do anything. So it's no wonder the Lacey Ford is very excited to celebrate 75 years of serving Western New York. Now, the Lacey's been doing it right from the very beginning, and they're kicking out their 75th anniversary the right way, too, with auto show deals on their most popular models. Now, I'm a truck guy, but if you're not, that's okay. DeLacy Ford is not only your F-150 dealer, they're also your SUV dealer with 0% financing, flex buys, and zero down lease deals on the entire SUV lineup at DeLacy, including EcoSport, Escape, Edge, Explorer, and Expedition. Now, plus, along with DeLacy's 75th anniversary, you're getting the DeLacy Advantage, with 2 years complimentary maintenance, means oil changes, tire rotations, and more, all covered for 2 years, in addition to those great deals you're getting to celebrate 75 years of selling Fords at DeLacy. It's their gift to you for helping them serve you for 75 years. So get on out to DeLacy Ford today, help them celebrate 75 years of serving Western New York, and cash in on auto show savings, and get into a Ford truck or SUV of your own today. DeLacy Ford, first for Ford, first for trucks, and first...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For you.
One of the great things that Bridgewater does is he is one of the best in the NFL at not turning the ball over and coming from a quarterback who just threw 30 picks. And then the sleeper is to be in your division with New England. I mean, he seems like a Belichick type of quarterback. Get it to the playmakers, shorter throws, get rid of the ball quick. I think that would work too if Tom Brady actually leaves.
Matthew Collar yesterday. Did you know that some packs, some cards go for $800 a pack? Didn't get to slip into our conversation with Matthew, his favorite line. Sorry. You can check that out, radio.com. The app allows for you to listen to entire shows back, fast forward to the parts that you like, listen to them over and over. On-demand audio as well on the website, WGR550.com. One more football thing, and here's Matthew yesterday talking about Teddy Bridgewater, which we did for a minute or two. Some speculation that he could get a big contract from a team. That's interesting to think about. Today, the new owner of the Carolina Panthers sent out a letter. The Panthers sent out a letter to their, I don't know, their season ticket holders or their suite holders. And you can read this. It's making the rounds. It reads very much like they are going to tank and rebuild. There's no mention of Cam Newton. That's like the glaring decision before the Panthers is what are they going to do with Cam Newton? Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I think the consensus from people on Twitter reading this letter is that the owner sounds like he is bracing the fans for, I don't know, suffering. Mm-hmm. That's a sort of a relatable word.
Yeah, sure, that works.
And that would probably just mean the end of Newton there.
Yeah, I would think almost certainly.
So what happens to Cam Newton in free agency? Is he 100% starting for somebody?
I wouldn't get to 100% on him because of the health concerns. I mean, I'm, you know, guys recover from all kinds of ailments, but he is really taking a beating. And if his mobility is in any way limited, I mean, there would be deterioration in it over the years. You know, he's just not going to be as good at getting out of the pocket and making guys miss and making big plays with his feet as he ages. So you got to consider that. But if he's like limited because of the injuries even more so, then I think his value is really damaged. So I wouldn't say for sure he has to be starting for someone because of that. Like he could end up in a situation where, and again, like if he gets a clean bill of health here before free agency, and someone trusts that he's healthy, then, you know, maybe this changes.
I bet he does.
And maybe dramatically. Yeah. Okay. So in that case, I think if you are as confident as you can be that he's healthy and that there's nothing lingering there, then I would expect him to have a starting job somewhere. Sure. I don't know where that is. Tampa, Oakland, if they miss on Brady. Like, if they really go after Brady and don't get him, you know, I don't know. You could always just keep Derek Carr, but that seems awkward.
I feel like they would trade Derek Carr.
Right. So maybe that's...
There's some Chicago spot speculation about him.
All right. Carr?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. So there'll be enough movement, and Newton has been good enough when healthy that I think he'd land a gig.
Isn't natural law, though, that ex-Panthers have to come here? Now, Olsen violated that law, and that was very rude of him
I don't
and
know.
Risky.
Yeah.
Imagine Cam Newton as the backup of the Bills? No.
No, I can't imagine that. No, I can't. I cannot imagine.
Maybe next year.
Right.
Maybe next year he comes. Right. He gets a one-year thing somewhere and sure. Allen flames out.
Yeah.
Maybe okay. next year or two. We got to get some competition in here.
Even if Allen doesn't flame out, if you're just worried, like, say, Tennessee was this past offseason about your guy, you want to have something to go to just in case, then, you know, that could be on the table for the Bills next year.
Absolutely.
So
I would bet on it.
In that case, okay. In that case, then, you know, that's someone that I would, you know, depends how this year goes. If he doesn't get a starting gig and just sort of hangs out and maybe plays a few games in relief and looks all right, then maybe he's someone you do that with next year. But I think he'll land a job. If he's healthy and teams know it, I think he gets a gig.
Have you thought about that one particular Bill scenario for very long? Because it's a year away.
No.
If they struggle this year, like if Allen struggles this year, say they're the Bears.
Right.
All right. Last year, we were like, let's imagine if the Bills were the Bears. And no, look at this quarterback.
Let's keep
and
running with it.
That kind of happened.
Yep.
So let's say they're still the Bears. And this year goes the other way. They're playing tougher teams, and that's just football. And the Bills were not, like, ever dominant. They were good enough.
None of that is far-fetched.
It's almost the likeliest. It might even be the likeliest scenario for this season, you know? So you have that. Like, say you have 7-9. And the team's not bad, but they're not really good. And you're going, we're almost to his contract. That is what Tennessee did. That was one more year in, I believe.
Yeah, they were both, Winston and Mariota were both working on fifth-year options.
Right, and they're both probably not going back to those teams. No. Winston still might, but Mariota's probably gone. It'll be interesting here if we get there because the coach and GM have high favorability ratings and they have made the playoffs twice in McDermott's case. If next year goes the other way, the conversation then becomes, well, what is this really? You know, and they'll be framed as a team that was lucky to make the playoffs.
Yeah, that's exactly, both times. That's exactly how it'll go if they do have this slide back with the tougher schedule season. I think that's exactly how it'll go.
So what will then be the move on or at quarterback? It would be that, probably.
I think, whether it's Cam Newton or someone else.
Yeah, it would probably be Cam Newton.
Someone of some accomplishment that, for whatever reason, doesn't have a chair anymore. It could be any one of these guys that's going to move around this year that might not land a permanent home.
Could be anybody. I don't know. I don't have any idea who it would be yet.
Right.
But it would be somebody with a name.
Yes.
Because the people who run the team would then feel some urgency.
I think that would be called for. Yeah, I really do. You get a real specific set of circumstances there. You know, Allen doesn't take a step. The team takes a step back. Yeah, it's the Bears. It's exactly the Bears.
The Bears are not even going to wait.
Right. They're not even they didn't bring someone in. They're talking about just moving on, mostly, right? They're just going to, like, put a bullet in Trubisky.
I don't know. I don't know what they'll do, but it sounds to me like my guess would be they have someone new.
Yeah, okay. But Trubisky will still be there, maybe. Right? So maybe it'll be like Tennessee. Yeah. So
maybe, yeah.
Yeah. And I would predict, however this year goes, that's if the Bills do this, bring in someone established, a name guy, that right now might be perceived as a threat, whereas I think a year from now it would be perceived as insurance. I think that guy's here just like Tannehill was there for Mariota. We're gonna try it. You're our guy. Hope it works out. It's not okay. 4 weeks in, 5 weeks in, not working. We're done. I don't think they would pull the shoot entirely on Allen without seeing the year. It's hard to know that, but
yeah, right. We'll see.
Yeah.
The thought one thought I had last offseason that I really liked was, what is 8-8 in 2019? Like, what is 8-8? Is 8-8 good? It's better than 6-10, which is what they were the year before. You're still in New England's division, so it's not going to be a playoff record. But what is 8-8? Is it progress? Is it a disappointment? Like, what exactly is that? And you know what? Again, that's a good question. Again, that's a thought-provoking question. Like, what is 8-8 in 2020? Because, you know, 8-8, 10-6, 6-10, you can be pretty much the same team and roll out those different records. I mean, that's what the NFL is. So you might really just have been the same all along. But the perception of you doesn't work like that. Right. I mean, most people don't look at it like that. And so 8-8 from 10-6, what's wrong? What happened? And would it be, hey, look, big picture, we like who we are, and you know, we have done pretty well here, we've won more than half our games or whatever? Or would it be different than that? And I think a lot of, just like last year, I would say that probably a lot of that will depend on New England. Because if New England is still, like, especially if Brady goes, and they are still, like, above you, decidedly, like, the odds predict will happen, then what's it going to feel like? It's going to feel like the last 20 years.
I haven't gotten anywhere.
Mostly.
Right.
You know? If they are more average, then you could have this kind of team and even consider first place. The other teams don't look that any better. So I think that's going to be a good question again. Maybe it always is. Last year, it just stuck out to me. Like, 8-8 is an interesting scenario to think about, and maybe it always is. Like, maybe for most teams it is. The teams that are always good, it isn't. That's obvious.
Right. Yeah,
or always
we've
bad.
We've not graduated to always good yet, no.
Like, what is 8-8 for the Bengals? Ooh. What is 8-8 for the Ravens next year?
Ooh.
Horrible.
Right.
So, anyway, Jordan Reed, Cam Newton, a couple of today's names. And I think, you know, like much like how Brady is fun to ponder playing for different teams, so is Newton. You know, hopefully he starts somewhere, and like that would be really cool to consider.
Yeah, as far as like being a fan of the league goes, I've been a big fan of Cam Newton's, and it bums me out that it's gone the way it's gone for him. Like, I'd be definitely rooting for him to get it together somewhere. Because I like a lot of, not everything, but I like most things about his personality, and I love watching him play.
Yeah, you like having those Cam Newton updates. Sometimes they are bad, but sometimes they're
right.
good. He's interesting.
He has stepped in it a couple times, yeah.
He's interesting, though.
Yeah.
Like, if the Redskins wanted him, like, yeah, we know we just drafted somebody, but, like, what a move that would be.
Right, yeah.
Something like that, just sort of a shocker. Green Bay. They decide they want to move on
right. wow.
from their guy. Who is their guy? They want to go with Cam Newton in 2020. That'd be hot. I think I'm talking you into this. Miami. Miami's good. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. 803-0550 for your calls. This is WGR.
All right, time for me to get you today's deal of the day, and what you get here is an opportunity to get, well, for example, two slices of pizza for the price of one. You can double anything at DiPaolo's Pizza when you pay just $10 for a $20 voucher and save 50%. This DiPaolo's Pizza deal is only available at Get My Perks. Details at getmyperks.com.
All right, looking forward to talking more about 7 playoff teams per conference, the possibility of a 17th game. As a fantasy player, I'm all for that. More games, more action, more weeks, more satisfaction in life.
It would mean a 16-game fantasy season.
I guess. Have you thought much about that? Like what the ramifications would be for fantasy leagues and stuff?
I can't stop thinking about it. Oh, you were talking to
you
Joe.
You didn't finish. Joe.
You were talking to
Joe. I don't really. Would there be any other than there's an extra game?
I don't know.
Unless they had another bye week, then you have to think about that maybe a little bit. I don't know.
And the season would start a week earlier or a week later? Week earlier?
Probably a week earlier.
Ooh. I don't think they want to be
they
on
They don't
want to
be
though.
On Labor Day. They want to. They always have said they want to avoid Labor Day.
Yeah, it might start at the same time.
Yeah.
They
just
start.
Might push the Super Bowl into mid-February as opposed to that first weekend.
Yeah, which, okay.
Yeah, you're right. I'm not really doing anything. That's why I'm not really bent about, you know, 16 or 7. I like an even number. Like, 500 is out the window. Like, you're playing 17 games. Like, that's the end of that.
Mm. Maybe one game is like a Super Bowl and it's worth two.
Yeah, I don't know. Right.
Double game.
Right.
And you can pick which game is your 2X.
So
love it.
I'm not nuts about
the
that.
Captains. Which game goes in your captain's slot in the schedule?
I think
how great would that be? Each team has to designate one game where the outcome would be worth double. And we figure out the order. Like maybe it's like last year. You get the better draft picks by being bad, but that's the same order for picking your game.
Yeah.
And then you pick me? Oh, guess what I'm doing? I'm picking you right back. Come on. This stuff is too good to just waste. Here is Mike with us. Hello, Mike. No Mike. Okay, we almost took a call.
There has been I've seen it intimated by players in the league, maybe former players, that they think 17, if they agree to 17, like of course the next thing is 18. And I guess that depends on how long this new CBA, should it be agreed to, will run for. You're not interrupt the middle of a collective bargaining agreement and start adding games, I don't think, but that eventually they'll get back to an even number of games.
You think 17 is a gateway
drug? I think 17, that's the vibe I 18. Get from players that I see commenting about it at all, is just that eventually the push is to 18, and 17 is just a bridge.
Yeah. 17 is the inch and 18 is the mile.
Right.
You give them the inch. Guess what they're going to take?
You know, in which case, you know, I know for the players, like they'll make a righteous stand about it, and they should, because you're talking about their health and the longevity of careers, and you're adding year by year, the amount of physical distress they have to go through to just complete a season. But, you know, if you can agree on 17, I would, here's another 1.5%, and that's this many billion dollars to go to the players, and we'll expand the rosters or whatever. And, like, come on, give me 18.
Do you like it? 803-0550, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here on WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.